How many of you here today, do you enjoy things that are convenient? Like, can you appreciate when somebody's put some thought behind something that just makes life a little bit easier? Man, I sure can. I know several times, just throughout days in general, I'll be using something, and often it's when I'm talking to a friend or something. Like the other day, I mentioned to Chris Madland, we were putting the sound cart unit that, thank you, Emil, and your dad for building that for us. We were putting it back in the trailer for something, and we were using some ratcheting straps. And as we're ratcheting this thing down so it doesn't roll around and get damaged or damage other things in the trailer when we're hauling it from place to place, Sunday to Sunday, I just thought, man, I am thankful for the person that invented ratchet straps, and I hope they made millions and millions of dollars, right? When Rachel and I were looking for a stroller, as we, God blessed us with the opportunity to become parents, and it's something that we had longed for and hoped for, and when He gave us that blessing, we were looking for a stroller, and some of Rachel's family had given us some funds so that we could actually go pick a stroller that we wanted, right? And so we went and looked, and we were looking for one because I thought, man, I'm not going to be with her all the time. She's going to be by herself with a baby in hand. And we were looking for one that was the most convenient possible, so one that would go over snow easily, right? Don't think about that word I just said, but one that would go over many types of terrain. One that, whenever it was unfolded and in use, that what's the easiest way that it could be folded? And we found one that right in the seat of that stroller, there's one handle. That if you pick up that handle, the whole thing folds up. Awesome. I hope they made millions and millions of dollars. And by the price of it, I'm sure they made millions and millions of dollars. Convenience. It's something that we appreciate, and it can be something that can dictate maybe a little bit too much of our time and attention. In a world where our highest commodity is time, we can so often bow to the tyranny of convenience. You know, we talked last week about staying in school, and we're going to continue on with that theme this week. That we want to stay in school, that we want to strive towards godliness. We want to not just know about God, but we want to know the God that wants to change our heart, change us from the inside out, so that we can exhibit godliness, which is knowing God and letting what we know to be true about God and letting God be manifest in our daily life. That He will be the one to affect our lives and our actions, our speech, the things that we do, the way that we relate to our coworkers, the way we relate to our family, the way we relate to our kids, the way I relate to my friends. This is godliness, letting what we know about God become knowing God, and letting that be manifest in the lives that you and I lead as followers of Jesus. Well, let me share with you a law professor and technology expert by the name of Tim Liu. He did some study on this idea of convenience in a world where we put so much time and energy into convenience, and convenience is a good thing. He did a little study. He claims that there is an underestimated force that drives our daily lives, and it's called convenience. We want nearly everything about our lives to be convenient, efficient, and easy. Wu calls convenience the most powerful force shaping our individual lives and our economies. Here's what he wrote. He says, as Evan Williams, a co-founder of Twitter, recently put it, convenience decides everything. Convenience seems to make our decisions for us, trumping what we like to imagine are our true preferences. Let me read that one more time. Convenience seems to make our decisions for us, trumping what we like to imagine are our true preferences. He gives an example. I prefer to brew my coffee, but man, Starbucks Instant is so convenient, I hardly ever do what I prefer. Now, if you're a coffee drinker, just forget that I said instant coffee, okay? But it was an example of how convenience affects the choices that we make. Easy is better, easiest is best. Of course, there are benefits to some of life's conveniences, but he also warns that there can be a dark side. He argues, with convenience, with its promise of smooth, effortless efficiency, it threatens to erase the sort of struggles and challenges that help give meaning to life. Created to free us, it can become a constraint on what we are willing to do, and thus, in a subtle way, it can enslave us. This idea of convenience. When we let convenience decide everything, we surrender too much. When we let convenience decide absolutely everything we do, we surrender too much. Again, in a world where our highest commodity is time, we so often bow to the tyranny of convenience. This may not be exactly what I had planned or what I wanted, but it's convenient. When we're on the road and something happens and we're not able to plan accordingly, I may not want to feed my kids chicken nuggets and fries, but I'm telling you, it's convenient. I'd love to give them some vegetables. Maybe you can contort your mind to thinking a potato fry is a vegetable. Right? I wanted to eat healthy, but boy, that meal deal is pretty convenient. It can contort our actual preferences and change the way we make decisions. Well, this morning, as we talk about staying in school and continuing to learn not just about God, but learn and experience who God is, I want to continue to talk about doing that in relationship with each other and doing that in relationship with God and His Word. So we're going to be in a book called 1 Corinthians, and it was written by God, inspired by God, written by a guy named Paul, okay? And Paul has quite the story. He was a guy that was out to get those that followed Jesus, and it was known as the Way, okay? In that time, it was some of the first time that they called Christians, which meant little Christs, and it was a derogatory term, and this guy, whose name was Saul at the time, was out, and he was putting people in prison. He was watching people be stoned to death for their faith in Jesus, holding the coats of those who threw the stones, because he was in absolute support of the decisions they were making. For him, this was heresy, this guy Jesus. That means false teaching. They were leading people astray. But God encountered him in a miraculous way and changed his life forever. It changed his life, it changed his mission, changed everything about Saul. It even changed his name, Paul. We're going to be in a book called 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you have your tablet or your phone, I invite you to turn there. Gabe is going to have it up on the screen for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 19. Now, I want to let you know, Paul, in this letter, we call it a book. Paul, in context, he has been just gone through sort of an argument for why he deserves. It's okay for him to be paid for what he's doing. But then he goes right into another argument that says, but I am not accepting anything. Because I want you to listen to me on the merits of the gospel, on the merits of the good news of Jesus, not because you think I'm getting paid to do this. All right? That gets you caught up to context. And here is Paul's heart. Here is Paul's heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 19, he says, although I am a free man and not anyone's slave, I have made myself a slave to everyone in order to win more people. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win Jews. To those under the law, like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law, to win those under the law. To those who are without that law, like one without the law, not being without God's law, but within Christ's law, to win those without the law. To the weak, I became weak in order to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that I may by every possible means save some. Now, I do all this because of the gospel, so I may become a partner in its benefits. He does all this because of the gospel. That is what we say the good news of Jesus Christ. Why is it good news? It's good news because without this news, you and I are separated from God for eternity. And we can't get back to a right relationship with Him. We can't bring Him flowers. We can't make Him something. We can't apologize enough without Jesus. You see, we have been separated from Him by our actions and our decisions. In fact, we were separated from Him by the actions and decisions of somebody that lived a whole long time ago. And we're born separated from God. It's an amazing thing. It's a scary and sad thing. We need this good news of Jesus. We need this news that says there's no way that you can make up this deficit on your own. There's no way that you can dig yourself out of this hole. No way you can do that. The good news is that God provided the only way. The good news is that God sent His very Son for you and for me and for the entire world. The good news. The good news that we talk about here at Southwinds every single Sunday. It's the good news that maybe when you get up in the morning, that when God reminds you, it starts your day off on the right foot. It's the good news that you talk about with your kids. It's the good news that you talk about with your spouse. The good news of Jesus says He paid a debt that we couldn't pay, and He offers it freely to you and me. What He requires of us is that we believe, that we confess, that we are what's called sinners, that we fall short of God's standard, and we need His forgiveness. Admit that we're sinners, believe that Jesus is who He says He is, and confess that Jesus is the only way to a right relationship with God. This is the good news that Paul's talking about. Now he goes into kind of in the first part, the first few verses of this passage that we're looking at today, he goes in and he says, you know, I'm a slave to no man, but I've made myself a slave to everyone in order to win more people, or a servant to everyone to win more people. To the Jews, I became like the Jews, right? Like I know the law. And so when he would go to a new place and he would start talking about the good news of Jesus, he would find a synagogue, which is a place where the Jews met for worship, and they would meet to talk, and they would meet to argue maybe one word, but they would meet to debate. And Paul would go to that place, and he would start to talk with them about the law, and then he would share with them about God's law and share with them how the fulfillment of that law came in the form of this guy, Jesus, and share with them the hope, the good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. But he would do it in the context that they came from. He said, now to those without the law, which would be the Gentiles. That's everybody that wasn't a Jew was considered a Gentile. Okay? They were considered unclean by the Jews. And Paul had heavy on his heart that they needed this good news of Jesus too. It wasn't just for the people of God. It was for everybody. And so he would go, and he had some Hellenistic influence in his life. So he was able to identify with these people. And he would go and he would find them, and he would talk about the things that they talked about, and then trust God to weave Jesus into those conversations. Amazing. Trust God to weave into those messages. So it didn't matter who Paul encountered. Verse 22, to the weak I became weak in order to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that I may be made by every possible means, save some. Now you might think, okay, is this guy Paul just some slick salesman that'll say whatever he needs to say to get people to buy his bill of goods? Paul's message here is not that the gospel ever changed. The gospel stayed the same no matter where he was, no matter who he was talking to. What changed was maybe his approach. What changed was he wanted to find some common ground with these people. And then through that common ground, enter into a conversation about the truth of Jesus. He wasn't trying to be the shady salesman that sees you coming from a mile away and says, I know they don't need this, but I'm going to sell it to them anyway. It's not Paul. He was finding common ground to give people the very life, the key to life. The key to life here on earth, and the key to life with God in eternity. I do all this because of the gospel, so I may become a partner in its benefits. Now, he gives an illustration following, and here's where we're going to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. However, they do it to receive a crown that will fade away, but we, a crown that will never fade away. Therefore, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. The tyranny of convenience. Remember, we started with that idea. Tyranny of convenience and how it can really lead us astray from what we imagine to be our true preferences and only go to what's convenient. And what Wu said, he says, convenience seems to make our decisions for us, trumping what we like to imagine are our true preferences. Easy is better, easiest is best. There are benefits to some of life's conveniences, but there can be, certainly, a dark side. It threatens to erase the sort of struggles and challenges that give up, that give meaning to life. That if we're always opting for the easy way, sometimes we miss the opportunity to struggle. If we're always opting for the easy way, we can trade building of character for convenience. We can trade a compelling life for a convenient life. When we're always choosing what is convenient. See, Southwinds, you don't need more to do. You need to know what better to do. Because I can guarantee you, everybody in this room is busy. In fact, isn't that one of the most common responses to, hey, how you been lately? It's either fine or busy, right? We're busy people. We live in a busy culture. We don't need more to do. You don't need more to do. You need to know what better to do. And what are the struggles that I really need to pick, right? He says, convenience can threaten to erase the sort of struggles and challenges that help give meaning to life. Well, in the midst of my busy life, how do I know what struggles and challenges do I need to choose to face? And what struggles and challenges do I need to realize I'm just wasting time here? Somebody else figured out a better way to do this. It's easier, more convenient. Well, let me help you. When it comes to folding up strollers, choose the convenient way. Okay? When it comes to ratchet straps, don't mess with ropes. But when it comes to your faith, don't compromise the struggles and challenges that we need to face, the hard questions that we need to sit with and wrestle with in life, for saying, you know what, I'll never be able to figure out anyway, so just, it's more convenient to leave it and just go on. Southwinds, don't. Don't give up on those challenges. Don't give up on those sorts of struggles. And you know, we are doing our best to provide some safe places for you to do that. We're doing our best to provide some safe and somewhat convenient places for you to sort through the truth of God and train and build towards godliness. Sunday mornings, we always have a message from God's Word here at Southwind Church on Sunday mornings to help give you a little bit better handle on what God's Word says. We have these things called life groups, and I'll talk about them more in just a moment, but we have these things called life groups that are small groups of people getting together to get to know Jesus and each other better. We want to give you environments that you can process these things, that you can go through the challenges and struggles, not by yourself, but with other people, to work out this thing called godliness. You see, we often trade convenience for what Jesus really offered. What he really offered to us is life on life, encouragement, and change. What he's offered to us is this truth that is never ending. It's always changing us. This truth that is the same. The truth never changes. That's the beautiful part about God's Word, about the Bible, is that it itself never changes. And it will never stop changing you and me if we will let it, if we'll believe it and live our lives according to it. You don't need more to do. You need to know what better to do. Paul talks about this idea of all the runners in a race. And don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race? Only one receives the prize. And he's referencing, they were very familiar with Olympic Games and the Isthmian Games, which is more of a local type of sporting event. And runners that ran in these races, they had to train, right? And he says, these runners are disciplined. He says, everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. However, they do it to receive a crown that one day will fade away. And in fact, it wasn't all that long because it was made of branches and leaves. Okay, it was a woven crown to the victor. Like, it wasn't even made of metal that they could keep, or you know, plastic like it was in my day, plastic that was made look like gold. When you're 8, it is gold, right? So you can put it up on your shelf, or your parents can put it up on a shelf, and they can be proud of that trophy. He says, everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. However, they do it to receive a crown that will fade away. Yes, you won that race, and nobody's going to remember 5 years from now. Maybe nobody will remember next year. A crown that will fade away, but we, a crown that will never fade away. You see, South Winds, we need to be like the runners. We need to run the race. We need to get in there and start striving towards godliness. We need to run the race. We need to apply the rules. You see, there was a guy that there were the participants and there was the herald. And the herald used to announce the race, and maybe he would announce how long the race was. Okay? Next, on the 800 meter, he would announce the contestants in that race. He would announce the race, and he would explain the rules. You may not get in the other runner's lanes. You may not start before the gun goes. Right? He would explain all the rules. And you know what else he would announce? He would announce the winner of the race, and he would announce anyone that got disqualified. Man, how shameful is that, hey? Not only did I accidentally step out of my lane, but here's the herald to help everybody know that I stepped out of my lane. Winner is Bob. Disqualified, Bo. Thanks. We need to run the race. We need to apply the rules. In Southwinds, we need to keep training. We've got to stick with this. It's more than a theme. It's more than an idea of staying in school. We've got to continue to train. One, so that we can become more like our Creator. We can become more like the one who saved us. Our heart, our character. And as we become more like the one who saved us, as we become more like the one who created us, who loves us, He's going to use us to bring others to Him. What an amazing, awesome privilege to be used by the God that created everything in the world to bring people into relationship with Him as I grow closer in relationship with Him. That's an amazing privilege. So we need to keep training. Because Southwinds, for us, it's not a sprint. We're in a marathon. And we don't know when our race is over. We don't know. And we are in a race until we cease to draw breath. We are in a race until our heart stops to beat. We run the race. We need to apply the rules. We need to keep training. You see, Paul, in this passage, he sees himself both as a herald and as a runner. He sees himself as a herald and a participant because he continued to strive towards godliness himself, to train and equip himself. And he wanted to announce to everybody out there that would listen, this is the good news of Jesus. This is what has changed my life, and it can change yours. You know, I don't know how he did it all the time. I mean, when he was talking to one group of people, he looked at all these idols that they had, and there was one idol built to an unknown God, and he said, I know that God. I'm glad you have an idol built to him. He can't be housed in that idol, but let me tell you about him. And he began to share with him about the one true living God and about his son, Jesus. You know, I don't know if Paul was the kind of guy who could say, you know, I'm glad you talked about tires. Let me tell you, who never gets tired of being there for you, right? Like, I don't know how Paul did it, but that's the part that we need to trust, that the Holy Spirit that God has put within us, that He's going to prompt our heart. He's going to prompt our minds. He's going to bring that truth that we've been studying, memorizing, applying, as we train and as we run the race, as we apply the rules, that we become a herald. Southwinds, we need to stay in school. Southwinds, please, let's join together and not be distracted by the tyranny of convenience. Sometimes it's more convenient just to busy myself with things that I can control, the things that I don't have to struggle with, the things that aren't hard. I just want to busy myself with that because it's more convenient than sitting down right now in the midst of crazy, in the midst of busy, sitting down and saying, God, I want to hear from you. Last week we launched Right Now Media, and I have a little picture there. Thank you. Right Now Media, and we hope you got that email. If you didn't get that email, please, please, please let myself or Kinsey know, and we will rectify that situation. If you didn't get it, please let us know, and we'll help you figure that out. If you've gotten it and you haven't had a chance to look at it yet, we want to really encourage you, take a look at Right Now Media, because it is Netflix for Christians. It's got some great kids shows, some great stuff for teens, some great stuff for you and for me. People of all ages, there's great stuff in there. We've got some life groups that are using it this fall. It's going to be fantastic. Right Now Media. And don't forget, share with us what you're finding. If you find something that you love or you find something that your kids love, shoot us an email. Let us know, because we can do some stuff on that channel. We can create our own channel and we can put it up there for everybody to find conveniently. This is an opportunity that convenience is good, okay? All right. Can you go to that next one? Life groups. Life groups. Small groups of people getting to know Jesus and each other better by praying together, experiencing God's word together, and doing life together. Because without those three things, I don't know that we can do this thing called Christianity. I don't know that we can follow Jesus without other people. We can trust Him. We have to trust Him on our own. And He didn't create us to do it alone. He created us to do it together. And if you go to southwindschurch.ca, you can find the life groups that are existing. And we try to make them on different nights of the week. We've got one that runs for men on 7:30 on Sunday morning because several of our men travel in that during the week. And so several of them said, you know, Sundays are the day that I know I'm pretty much going to be home. So why don't we do it at 7:30 so I can still go help get family ready for church, or I can still be there at church on time, at worship service on time. And we want to provide more life groups. And the more people that we have coming forward looking for those opportunities, we want to provide those things for you. We've got a new sort of life group launching this fall that we've never done before. It's a Facebook group. It's a Facebook group that can walk through the book of Proverbs together, and they can comment online as you go throughout life. And once a month, you gather together in the same room and you get eyeball to eyeball with each other. You get life on life with each other. You get to know each other a little bit better. Deanne Armstrong is leading that group if you're interested. Not just for ladies, not just for men. It's for anybody that wants to go. We have all kinds of life groups going. And we would encourage you and challenge you that sometimes, yes, it's not convenient. I will be the first to admit there are times that I think, man, I don't know. It's been a long week. I don't know if I can get up early, that much earlier on Sunday morning to get what I need to get done, be at men's group at 7:30, go to set up at 9 o'clock, be there for 10 o'clock worship service. When you get off work and it's been a long day and a long week, you barely have time to scarf down some dinner. Maybe you got home late and you're going to the life group that starts at 7:30 in the evening, and you're thinking, I'm just tired. Boy, it'd be so much more convenient if I just sat right on this couch. Don't trade convenient for life change. I'm telling you, I don't know of anybody who's ever said, it's not convenient for me to go, but I'm going to go. I have not heard. I've asked the question. I've answered the question myself. I've not heard anyone that said, boy, I'm sorry I went to life group tonight. Boy, I'm sorry I went to life group this morning. I've never said that about men's group on Sunday mornings. Never said it. Tell you what I have said. Get in my truck when I leave Terry's house. And I said, God, thank you for these men. because there was somebody said or something that we looked at that I needed to feed my soul and my heart. And it may have been more convenient for me to do something else, and I'm always thankful that I chose to do that. Hear me, Southlands, this is a challenge, not a guilt trip. If you're feeling a little bit guilty about maybe I've been choosing the convenience, I'm going to invite you. Don't go to Life Group because the preacher got up and made you feel bad. Take that to your King Jesus and say, Jesus, is this you talking to me? Do you want me to be in one of these groups? Is this what you want for me? Maybe I need to join that Facebook group. Maybe I need to set my alarm on Sunday mornings. I don't know. And I want to tell you that we're all in a race. We need to know the rules to apply the rules. And we all need to keep training. And the best way for us to train is to train together. To encourage each other, to challenge each other. I'm telling you, in those times when I am more physically active and healthy than I am present day, it helps me to do it with other people. When I don't feel like going and I get that phone call to say, hey, you going to be there for that bike ride at 8 o'clock? Yeah, I am. I don't want to go. It's not convenient. The chips and couch are more convenient. You know, when I broke my wrist riding last summer, and one of my pastor friends looked at me and he said, you know, Bo, I just want you to know that I admire you for going and riding your bike and trying to be healthy. He said, and at the same time, I have never broken my wrist by sitting on the couch and watching TV. You just need to know that. I digress a little bit there. I'm telling you, Southlands, it doesn't always feel convenient, and it's worth it. This is one of the struggles and the challenges in life. Trying to sort through, God, what do you want from me and what do you expect of me and my family that we need to do together? Let's stay in school and let's do it together.